Welcome to AdultBibleStories.com, our vicarious God and his vicarious people. We're reading through the book of Job. We haven't got very far, but this is chapter 3. It says, after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. So Job would not curse God. He worshiped God instead after losing everything. But now he curses the day he was born, which is not unusual. Find that in Scripture. Several people have cursed the day they were born. I've kind of done that myself. I'm not going to curse God, but I cursed the day I was born. I've asked God, why did you even give me birth if you're just going to give me pain? And that kind of stuff. And so that happens. Chapter 3, verses 20 says, this is Job speaking, why is light given to him who is in misery, and life to the bitter in soul? I mean, isn't like that? Sometimes you don't want to be cheered up. You've lost everything, and some goodwill friend comes in and says, I know I'm going to try to cheer you up, try to make things better for you, and you just want to mourn. You just want the person to shut up, close the curtains, let me lay here in the darkness for a while. Chapter 3, verse 23 says, why is light given to a man whose way is hidden, whom God has hedged in? Have you ever felt hedged in before? Certainly if you believe in, you know, God's sovereignty, which we need to believe in God's sovereignty, but some people believe God is 100% sovereign, that there is no free will, that he doesn't share free will, that even if you have free will, God is 100% sovereign, and all that's kind of difficult on how to get that doctrine right. But God does allow free will, but sometimes you feel hedged in. You feel like you can't do anything. I mean, God is the one against you. God is the one that's holding you in. Sometimes he does do that. But we need to be careful in what we say and before we make a charge, you know, and accuse God of something. Verses 25 says, for the thing that I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. So what is Job's fear? Was it afraid of his losing his kids? Yeah, he was afraid of losing his kids, afraid of losing his wealth, afraid of cursing God in his heart. Not only was he afraid of his children cursing God in their heart, but he was afraid of his wife cursing God in his heart, and he was afraid of himself cursing God in his heart. And when you lose everything, you seem to, that's the first thing we go to. The accuser of the brethren is right there in our ear, in our own flesh, which deserves death anyway, is certainly going to think this is God's punishment. You know, we had this, especially in the Western world, with this idea that if we're doing good, we don't have any problems and God blesses us. If we're doing bad, God strikes us to get us back in line. And so that's just common human fallen nature to think that way. But we need to think differently, because God does cause it to rain on the just and the unjust, and cause it to shine on the righteous and unrighteous. So chapter 4, one of his friends starts speaking, and he's not that great of a friend, because he starts really mocking Job. Verse 3 says, behold, you have instructed many, and you have strengthened the weak hands. Your words have upheld him who was stumbling, and you've made firm the feeble knees. And that sounds good, right? He's saying, Job, you're an upright man. But listen to the next verse, verse 5. But now it has come to you, and you are impatient, Job. It touches you, and you are dismayed. Is not fear of God your confidence and the integrity of your ways your hope? So you can dish it out, Job. You can encourage other people, Job. But you can't take it. You can't stay in the kitchen when the heat gets too hot yourself. He's mocking him. How would you like to have a friend come to your house and mock you? Chapter 5, verse 17. Behold, blessed is the one whom God reproves, therefore despise not the discipline of the Almighty. How would you like to have that? You're going to down, you lose your job, you lose your kids, you lose your wife for whatever reason, and somebody comes in and says, you know, this is just the discipline of the Lord. Just take it. Well, we need to take everything as a discipline of the Lord, as James says in the New Testament. But how would you like to see somebody coming in and just saying and chalking up everything that bad happens to you is just the discipline of the Lord? There are some things that God doesn't have anything involved with. You know, it has to do with the devil coming in, who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You can say, well, God allowed it, and certainly he may go that direction, but we need to widen our ideas of just how complicated a fallen world is in restoring a fallen world to its original identity. So we go to chapter 6, verse 14. Here's Job's reply to that friend who's making all kinds of mocking accusations. Verses 14, he who withholds kindness from a friend forsakes the fear of the Almighty. Saying, dude, you're not being very kind to me. You don't have the fear of Almighty. I mean, here you are coming in and judging me. I'm already down, and now you're kicking me. You're kicking me when I'm down. you know, you should have just remained silent, but no, you got to kick me when I'm down. We have that happening all the time, even if we don't mean it. I got to be careful because I like to know why something happens. I want to go there and fix things. I want to, you know, bridge the breach. I want to fix the hole, and sometimes I can go in. So I got to be real careful that I don't do that. Sometimes I just need to sit and mourn with the person, not try to fix or try to clean up the mess. Just stay with the person. Chapter 7, Job continues with verse 4. It says, "When I lie down, I say, when shall I rise? But the night is long, and I'm full of tossing till the dawn." So if you're ever like that, you're just waiting for the day to be over because you just want to get in bed, and then the night seems to go forever, and you just want the dawn to show up so you can get out of bed and continue, and you just go through these days over and over. The past is pressing on you. The present is uncomfortable, and you just want to get into the future and hope that there's some hope, some kind of stability in the future. That's how Job is feeling. Chapter 8, here's another one, Job's friends, who opens his mouth and should have shut up. Chapter 8, verse 4, it says, "If your children have sinned against him, he has delivered them into the hand of the transgression." So your kid gets killed. Your children get killed. Your family gets killed. Car wreck, fire, doesn't really matter. And here's this guy says, "Your children transgressed against God, and so he gave them over to the devil." Your kid was a sinner. Your kid was a horrible kid, and God took justice on him. How'd you like to have a friend like that? Oh, man. Chapter 9, verse 16. Job replies to him, says, "If I summoned him and he answered me, I would not believe that he was listening to my voice." Have you ever felt like that, that God wasn't hearing your prayers? And even if he did answer you, you wouldn't feel like he was answering you. That's how Job, you know, that's how Job feels at this moment. Says, "Even if I pray, I wouldn't know God's voice. I wouldn't know if he's answering me. I'm just too low. And how could God answer me?" Chapter 10, Job continues his plea. Verses 3 says, "That seemed good to you to oppress, to despise the work of your hands and favor the designs of the wicked." He starts out saying, "I loathe my life. I speak the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, do not condemn me. Let me know why you contend against me." So Job is now starting to accuse God as being the enemy. Of course, he doesn't know about the devil. And a lot of people, Christians, don't have any doctrine considering the devil and wickedness in a fallen world. And he goes at verse 3, says, "That seemed good to you, oppressed, to despise the work of your hands and the favor designs the wicked." So he's saying to God, "So does it feel good to you to chastise me and to correct me while you let all these wicked, evil people do? And why you let this happen to me and not this?" And we all kind of feel that way sometimes. So if we jump over to chapter 11, it's another one of Job's friends speaks. Verse 7, "Can you find out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limit of the Almighty? It is higher than heaven. What can you do? Deeper than Sheol, what can you know?" You never know what God is going to do. Have you heard that one before? God works in mysterious ways. That's what this guy is saying. You can't know. You just don't know. You just don't know the ways of God. But that's what eternal life is. It's to know God and the one he sent, Jesus Christ, to know God. We are to know his ways. Jesus told his disciples, he says, "You're no longer my servants, but now you're friends. Because you're my friends, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do next." God wants to share his ways with us and how he does things. And how he thinks about things. We should know those things if we're going to walk in a relationship with the Lord. And even in the Old Testament, he says, "Will I do anything on the earth without my first tell the prophets?" Or remember the story of Abraham. He says, "You know, should I do this thing, you know, the Sodom and Gomorrah, without telling my friend Abraham?" God wants to tell us those things. So don't listen to your friend. Well, you can never know God's ways. God's ways are beyond finding out. Oh, man, you don't need a friend like that. Chapter 12. I guess we'll continue with that, chapter 12, the next day.